Now open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12 as we continue this morning in our series through the Gospel of Luke. We'll be beginning chapter 12 this morning. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12, but focusing on verses 1 through 3 as our text. Now, Luke chapter 12, if you recall, Jesus has just finished up a nice dinner engagement at a Pharisee's house, where he proceeded to reveal their sin and their hypocrisy. And now he's going to move, as we begin in chapter 12, out from there and into a broader crowd. And so let us hear God speak to us from Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Thus far, the reading of God's Holy Word. Let us pray. Oh God, help us now as we approach your Holy Word, as we have heard you speak to us, to have not only ears that hear and minds that understand this Word, but hearts that receive it, lay it up, store it up, treasure it, think upon it, apply it to ourselves, that we might be changed, that we might know your grace, that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The question I want to begin with is one that I was thinking about myself and asking myself, and that is this. Think about this. Where do you feel most comfortable? Where is it that you feel most comfortable? Where is the one place that you can go and let down your guard? Relax. Where do you feel free simply to be yourself? Now for me, as I thought about this question, one of those places is at my home. Or at a family member's home. And I thought about this as we think about the holidays and maybe going to our parents or going to a brother or sister's house. You're around family, aren't you? You can relax. You're disarmed. Your family, for better or for worse, knows the real you. We might put it this way. You can go there and you can untuck your shirt and that's okay. You can be relaxed. No one has any pressing expectations of you to be something or someone else. You don't have to be someone you're not. In other words, you don't have to be a hypocrite. Because that's what hypocrisy is. It is acting like someone you are not. It refers to the evil habit of hiding your real self behind a mask, play acting. It amounts to insincerity, dishonesty, deception, living a double life. As I thought about this and about hypocrisy, what I desire as a minister of the gospel and as one who is called to lead God's people, my desire is that the church would be that place. That the church would be that place where we come and we feel completely comfortable and relaxed, where we can be ourselves, where we don't have to pretend to be someone else. That we don't have to come and pretend like we've got it all together. Because do we? Do you? Do you have it all together? I don't. And so we come and where we can come and realize that we don't have it all together, where we can say to one another, I'm a sinner, and so are you. And we both are received by the same Savior, Jesus Christ. Because then we can truly be ourselves with God and with one another. We can live hypocrisy free. We don't have to put on a mask. But how do we do that? We have to know what hypocrisy is, but we also have to know how to avoid it. That's what we're going to discuss today, this warning to beware of hypocrisy. Now, what is going on here in the context is one in which Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, has just had this meal with the Pharisees. A Pharisee had invited him to a house. He's had this meal. And he begins then in chapter 12, verse 1 of Luke to give one long talk. Really, this talk goes through the entire chapter. During this talk, he's interrupted twice. First, in verse 13, by a man who wants him to help him figure out the inheritance with his brother. And then second, in verse 41, by Peter, who has a question about the teachings that Jesus has spoken on. During this talk, Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples in the context of the crowd. Everybody is there. But he also switches during this talk to speaking to the crowd more broadly. This section contains some of the more, and really most often quoted sayings of Jesus. We read some of them. They are the hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. Later he'll say, do not worry about your life. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And this one, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In addition, there are three well-known parables in Jesus' speech. Now, as we come then and drill down a little bit and look at verses 1 through 12 that we read, we find Jesus, having finished his meal at the Pharisee's house, now outside, and he's surrounded by a very large crowd. We're told it's an innumerable multitude. And this crowd is so desirous to get near Jesus that we're told in verse 1 that they trampled one another. Now remember, in this day and age, there were not speakers or audio systems. In order to hear someone speaking, you had to get close. So all of these people are coming, they want to get close to Jesus, and they are literally trampling one another. And it is here that Jesus begins to speak. And in verses 1 through 12, he gives three calls. The first one we're going to look at today, the call to avoid hypocrisy in verses 1 through 3. In verses 4 through 7, he gives a call to fear God, and in verses 8 through 12, a call to confess him before men. But we're going to look, as I said, about this first call today, the call to avoid hypocrisy. And as we do, we must beware of hypocrisy because it is the natural outworking of our sinful nature. We must beware of hypocrisy because it is the natural outworking of our sinful nature. We must beware of it in religion and beware of it in ourselves. Jesus begins, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. This word beware in the Greek is watch out. It's in the present tense. It's a present command. continually beware, continually be on guard, have constant vigilance against hypocrisy. You see, every false religion has at least one thing in common. Every false religion devised by man has man working to get to God. Only Christianity, only the gospel tells of a God who came to man. But every other religion has man going to God. And when man must work to get to God, hypocrisy is the inevitable result. Think about it. We heard the standard earlier, didn't we, in the Ten Commandments. And so if man has to work to get to God, the inevitable results of a works-based religion is hypocrisy. Because when you try to work to get to God, you will realize that you cannot live up to the standard. And once you realize you cannot live up to the standard, all that's left is to pretend like you are. And that's hypocrisy. So every false religion ultimately leads to hypocrisy. In fact, hypocrisy in religion, we might say, is sinful man's natural religion. And Jesus says here that it is like leaven. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, leaven is yeast. It is used in the making of bread to make bread rise. And it's a common figure of speech that Jesus uses elsewhere. It's the picture of something small that goes in a little bit that then infiltrates the whole loaf and grows. Now, it can be used to speak of good things. For instance, in Matthew chapter 13, leaven is used to speak of the kingdom. The coming of the kingdom is going to come. It's going to start small, but it's going to grow. But this illustration can also be used to speak of things that are not good. And that's the example we have here. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of it. Hypocrisy is like leaven in this way. It starts small and is initially hard to detect. It doesn't take much leaven. It starts small, it's hard to detect. Be on guard. Beware. But also, it's like leaven in that once it gets into a person or into a church, it spreads throughout the entire person. It completely corrupts. Galatians 5:9, Paul puts it this way: a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Or in our modern language, we might say, a little yeast makes the whole loaf of bread rise. So that's the picture here that Jesus is giving. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It's hard to detect. It may begin small, but once it gets in, once it gets hold of your heart, it will grow and it will corrupt. J.C. Ryle puts it like this: Pharisaism is a subtle leaven which the natural heart is always ready to receive. It is a leaven which, once received into the heart, infects the whole character of a man's Christianity. This is why Jesus says, beware, beware. Now, hypocrisy in religion has many causes, but two of the main ones are really fear and pride. Think of fear. Think of the desire to avoid religious persecution. Think of the desire to avoid looking different to the world. So maybe you come here, you do one thing, and you go out there and you do another. Or pride. Pride is another cause, the desire to please people more than God. But the warning is clear. We must avoid hypocrisy in religion at all costs, for once it comes in, it is very hard to remove. That's why Jesus says here to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Remember, the Pharisees were the leading religious party of the day. He said their religion is infected, and they want to infect everything they touch with this leaven. Beware of it. Don't let it in. But Jesus also directs this warning toward his disciples, warning them not only to avoid the Pharisees and their religious hypocrisy, but to avoid the hypocrisy which threatens to infect their very heart. fact, in verse 3, he says, therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark. He's speaking to his disciples. Whatever you all have spoken. He's speaking to Peter, who later will act hypocritically. He's speaking to Judas, who would later completely be overtaken with hypocrisy and betray him. And so not only do we need to beware of hypocrisy in religion, but you need to beware of hypocrisy in yourself. Because hypocrisy remains a sinful tendency even in God's people. Think of Adam and Eve. You know, if hypocrisy is putting on a mask, what did Adam and Eve do after they sinned? They went and they tried to hide from God. They got some fig leaves. And they tried to cover themselves, didn't they? They realized something was wrong and they tried to hide. Abraham pretended to be Sarah's brother. Jacob pretended to be Esau. Peter, later on, when confronted after Jesus, his arrest, would say, I don't know him. You were with him. You're one of the Galileans. I've never seen this man before. I don't know him. Hypocrisy. Peter was trying to put on a mask of lies to avoid persecution. And this is Peter who said, I will die with you, Jesus. Later on, Peter would do the same thing. He had to be confronted by Paul. Before the Jews came from Jerusalem, he would eat with the Gentiles. And the Jews showed up and he distanced himself. This is the danger, even for us as God's people, because we are weak, sinful people. And we're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to cover yourself with all manner of things to avoid the truth of your sinful state. What you think you've achieved in the world, your religious performance, even your charitable deeds. Let me tell you this, it is all filthy, stinking rags in the sight of God. If you think that anything that you do is going to earn you anything with Him. And so Jesus warns His disciples here. This is a real danger for you. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. You see, the disciples were being called. Here, certainly the 12, but also the 70 and others. They were being called to preach to others. And Jesus says to them, hypocrisy is going to be worse for you than it will be in others. You are called to be truth tellers. And if you go out in public and you tell some people the truth, and then you go in private, as Jesus puts here, in the ear, in the inner rooms, we might say what is whispered behind closed doors. If you go and publicly say one thing and you go whisper something else in the ear behind closed doors, you are not only a hypocrite, but you are going to destroy your ministry. You are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as Christians, our hypocrisy, if we engage in it, is worse than the hypocrisy of others. Why is that? Because we represent the King. We tarnish His holy name. And so we must ask ourselves, where have we become guilty of hypocrisy? What are you doing out there that you are pretending isn't happening when you come in here? Are you being honest with others? Are you being honest with yourself? God knows your heart, but are you being honest with Him? You see, not only is hypocrisy dishonesty, but it is also foolishness. Jesus tells us that here. Jesus says, the day is coming when all will be revealed. We may try to cover ourselves with those proverbial fig leaves, but the day is coming when every hypocrite will be stripped of their fig leaves and left open before the eyes of God. What he says here, verse 2, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. The Greek word translated covered here in the New King James Version is one that means hidden on all sides, covered completely. What a picture of what we do. We think we've covered this. We've hidden it. Nobody will ever find out. But Jesus says here, no, that's foolishness. There's nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be made known. Not only our actions, but our speech. He goes on in verse 3. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And whatever you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. The word here, translated inner rooms, is that same word that Jesus uses when he speaks about praying in Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, go into the secret place. The idea here is a place in a home where it was in one of the inner rooms. Maybe the wealthy had an inner room where they would keep their jewels, or a place where top secret meetings would happen. You go into the inner chamber, and Jesus says here, it does not matter if you go into the inner rooms. It does not matter if you whisper in the ear. It's going to be proclaimed from the housetops. Ecclesiastes 10:20 brings this out. It says, do not curse the king even in your thought. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. It'll be proclaimed on the housetops. Radio and TV had not yet been invented. So this was the nearest thing, the nearest way in which information would be propagated far and wide. In our day and age, we might say it's going to be broadcast. In a worldwide broadcast for all to see. It'll be proclaimed from the housetops. All hypocrisy will be revealed when Jesus returns. Again, back to Ecclesiastes 12:14. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. 1 Corinthians 4:5, Paul says, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. So what are we to do? We're hypocrites. We're tempted to be hypocrites. Everything will be revealed. Nothing will be hidden. It will be proclaimed from the housetops. Well, we must know how God has provided a way out. Hypocrisy is avoidable. Hypocrisy must be constantly checked and actively avoided. Now, if you're a parent, you have an edge up in this category because you have what I like to call little hypocrisy detectors. Your children. Oh, wow, your children will point out your hypocrisy. And I'm thankful for that. That's a good thing. But we must replace hypocrisy with the opposite of hypocrisy. And what is the opposite of hypocrisy? What's sincerity? Sincerity. Jesus is calling us to be sincere. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And the opposite call is to be sincere. But then the question comes up, how can we be sincere? And what I don't want you to think this. Do not even begin to think that you can be sincere by trying harder. That would be the worst thing. Don't leave this place thinking, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to be sincere. Good luck with that. You see, you cannot hide your hypocrisy by trying to cover it. Which, what is hypocrisy but putting a cover on? You can't hide your hypocrisy by trying to cover it with your own sincerity. You're making the same mistake that the Pharisees made. They worked on the outside, but they forgot about the heart. If you rely upon your own strength, you will only end up becoming a hypocrite about your hypocrisy. You will only become a more sincere hypocrite. It'd be like trying to heal a wound on your arm by making another gash, or cleaning your face of mud by taking a bunch of mud and smearing it on your face. It's not going to work. It's only going to make it worse. So what can we do? How can we avoid hypocrisy? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to recognize, even as Christians, that we so often are hypocrites. God looks at the heart. He sees everything. Our hearts are desperately wicked. We need to repent of our hypocrisy. We need to be sincere and honest with God and with one another. Brothers and sisters, we have not come in here to ascend the mountain of God by our own good works. We have come here to bow at the feet of the cross because our works are sinful. We cannot save ourselves. We need to take off the mask of self-righteousness. We need to take off the mask of our pride, off the mask of our works, off the mask of anything whatsoever that we are trusting in, and we need to rely upon the only one who was never a hypocrite. There was only one who was never a hypocrite, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. You see, it is only through faith in Christ that you can be sincere in religion. Only by union with the one who had no hypocrisy can you avoid hypocrisy. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing you will ever be able to be is a hypocrite. Because you'll be continually trying to cover yourself with something that cannot provide cover. And this is because it is the natural tendency of sinful humanity to engage in hypocrisy. We have a long, long history of pretending we are something that we are not, especially when it comes to sin. Adam and Eve masked themselves in the garden with fig leaves. Abraham and Jacob pretended to be someone they were not for self-preservation. Peter, who knew Jesus, who said to Jesus, "I will not deny you, even if it cost me my life," quickly turned and said, "I do not know the man." We do the same thing, don't we? But I want you to hear this. We do not, you do not need to do so any longer. You do not need to live in this way. You can be free. Yes, it is true that Adam and Eve pretended to be something they were not. They covered themselves and they hid from God. Yes, it is true that God sought them out and called to them in the garden. But what did God do? He stripped them of their own self-righteousness. He stripped them of their fig leaves. He proclaimed the gospel of grace and he covered them. He covered them with something far better than fig leaves. He covered them with animal skins, signifying the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that would be given for them to cover their hypocrisy. That is our hope. That is what Jesus does. Jesus welcomes us and he pulls back the mask of our self-righteousness, but he doesn't leave us to cover ourselves with lies and hypocrisy. He sees us and he says to us, "You can remain both unmasked and unashamed because I have covered your guilt, even the guilt of hypocrisy." And brothers and sisters, we are getting ready to witness visibly in the Lord's Supper this truth. And here's what I want to encourage you with. As you approach the table today, approaching it by faith in Christ alone, you do not need to come masked by hypocrisy. Nor do you even need to come unmasked but ashamed, having been found out by God. But I want to encourage you to come both unmasked of your hypocrisy and unashamed. You can come with complete confidence in this, that God knows the depths of your heart. He knows the deepest recesses of your sinful heart, and he still loves you with an everlasting love. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we confess our own sin, and we know that we often fall into that trap that you warn us against of living, as it were, a double life, trying to cover ourselves with many things. Help us to lay down these things this day, to come open and honest with you, with one another, knowing that we do not come bearing anything But we come only as beggars in need of your grace and your mercy. We come unmasked and yet unashamed because you have covered us by the blood of Christ. We thank you for this great truth, and we ask that it would encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.